the big room with 30 people here. So let's all move in the middle, if you don't mind. Give you a chance to find a new spot you might like better than one you're in. All right, good. I think we'll have a few more folks come in. We got several called in, said they weren't going to be able to be here tonight. But I'm glad that you're here. Thank you so much for being part of the service today. And so let's all stand together as Brother Tim comes to lead us in a song.
All right, we're going to sing When We All Get to Heaven. They won't have just the center section there. So number 78, if you'll turn there, we'll sing. Have to really sing out tonight now.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace in the mansion bright and blessed. He'll prepare for us a place when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all.
Third now.
Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toil of life repay. And we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all.
Before us, soon His beauty will behold.
Soon the pearly gates will open. We shall tread the streets of gold when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we.
Thank you so much for being here. Like I said, we had a few more folks come in, so it looks a little better. It looks a little more encouraged. I'm preaching on encouragement tonight, and so I need everybody to get in the middle so I'd be encouraged, because I look around at a sea of empty seats, but it looks a lot better y'all sitting in the middle together. I appreciate that. That helps me. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessing upon the service. Father, what a joy it is to be back in the house of the Lord tonight on Wednesday night. And Lord, I know we've got a big storm coming. And a lot of folks are moving and trying to get wherever they're going to get. And Lord, it's been very hectic around town today, but we understand. But Lord, I'm grateful for the folks that are here tonight. And Lord, as I was telling one of the brethren earlier, and it's just the way it is in these days and times where people seem like they're looking for reasons not to have church. Many churches in our area just canceled services tonight. No reason to, I don't believe. I'm glad we didn't. Lord, I know we may have to Sunday, depending on how bad the weather might be. But Judy told me today, and she's right, that God's in control of the weather. And if He wants us here, He'll open it up to be here. And so, Lord, we're just excited about the opportunity to be back in the house of God tonight. And I appreciate the faithfulness of these precious folk that are here, Lord, that come to hear the Word of God and to sing and to worship the Lord. And Father, we're grateful for all You do for us. We do pray for Christy Todd's daughter, who's having some surgery in the morning in Greenville, and some pretty serious surgery. And so we want to pray for her and then for her son as well. Lord, is also having some health issues. Good to see Brother Steve here, but she's there watching the grandchildren while the daughter is having the surgery. And certainly, Lord, we ask You to touch her and, Lord, heal her according to Thy will. And just God, the doctors, as they work with her. And then others, Lord, You know the situation. I know Brother Joe Hotchkiss not feeling good tonight. And Lord, Brother Joe's over 80 years old. And so, Lord, he has those times when he just doesn't feel well. And Miss Ramona, the same way, called, said she had a bad migraine this afternoon. And so, Lord, we pray for these folks, Lord, that You'll touch them and heal them. Be with Brother Shelton as he's out in the middle of all this, Lord, and will be out there for several days. And sometimes, perhaps, even in dangerous places, trying to help folks that need help. And so, Lord, we do pray for all of our folks up and down the East Coast. And, Lord, for people all over, Lord, we don't know why things happen like they do. But, God, all we can do is trust in the Lord with all of our heart. And so, Lord, help us to do that and to be helpful to those that may need help in the days to come. We love you, and we thank you for all you do now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Thank you. You can be seated just a moment. And I did want to mention, Brother Steve, tell me the daughter's name. She texted me, and I wrote it on my prayer list. And I was at a service yesterday afternoon. I took my prayer list out of my Bible so I wouldn't lose it, and then forgot to put it back in there. So, right. That's who's? Deacon's mom. Yeah. So up in Greenville, and then her son, Josh, is also having some health issues and some other things. And so she's really burdened for them Sunday night. And so we certainly want to remember that and pray for that surgery will go well or whatever needs to be done there. And pray for Christy while she's there in Greenville. Okay. All right. Does anybody else have a prayer request you want to mention tonight? Anything? Chad, your mom all right? I see she's not. Prepping for the hurricane. All right. Okay. Well, like I say, you know, I have to say, and I have to be fair, I was here when Hugo came. And so a lot of you were, how many of you were here, remember Hugo when it come through? And at that time, and I remember well, they said all that time I was in Rock Hill, you know, they said, well, when hurricanes come, and I think we had two or three that went through Charleston and down that way, you know. Anyway, they said, don't worry, we're so far inland that it won't bother. We might get some rain. Buddy, I tell you, that thing, that beat anything I ever seen. I've never been in anything like that. Where we were in Rock Hill, of course, you're even closer to the coast here than we were. We had 135 mile an hour winds in Rock Hill that night. I'm telling you, that was so. Now, when they talk about storms, I didn't know this until the other day. I happened to hear it on the Weather Channel, whatever. Anyway, they were talking about how that the Carolina coast has not been hit with a major hurricane. I didn't say they didn't have some, but a major hurricane in 23 years. I mean, that's a shocker to me. And so and Hugo was the next one before that, and that was 89, so however long that is. So it's been a while. And so, you know, you watch all the folks on the news, and they're going to hunker down, and they're going to tough it out. I'll tell you, this one here is a little bit unusual, they say. And then, of course, remember 3 years ago, we had all that rain come through and that flood of the thousand-year flood. Now they're calling this hurricane the storm of a lifetime. And so, I can understand some trepidation. I surely can. But we're just going to believe God will take care of us as he will. We had that storm come through our right there at our church in Rock Hill. And we had a little old building there. And I'm telling you, after the thing was over, got up the next morning, we didn't lose a shingle. Our steeple was right where it's supposed to. I mean, I'm telling you, other than a tree. And believe it or not, it was a cedar tree in our yard. And the forestry service, now, I don't know how or why they were even around, except there were trees everywhere. But this guy from the forestry service was going up down Neely's Creek Road, and he pulled in and saw the tree down in our yard. Came, and he told me before he left that by his calculation, that cedar tree that fell in our yard was one of the oldest trees in the state of South Carolina. Now, I don't know how in the world he figured that out. But that's what he told us. I don't know. And so we had the thing cut up and made a piece of furniture out of it because it fell. I mean, the tip of it scraped our front door when it fell down. I mean, it didn't do any damage. So, you know, the Lord's going to take care of us one way or the other. But, you know, certainly want everybody to be safe and be careful out there. Of course, I think this thing's really going to kind of get in our area maybe late Saturday night, Sunday morning. So here's what we're going to do. Now, I don't know. You know, I don't want to jump the gun. I don't want to get over excited necessarily. So here's what we're going to do. Depending on how the weather will be come Saturday night, by 6 o'clock Saturday night, all of you that have email, you know, Brother Steve sends out those emails. If you have it and you're not on our email list, then let him know that tonight. But by 6 o'clock or so Saturday night, we will send out an announcement if we're going to have church Sunday morning or not. Listen, before God, I don't want to miss church on Sunday morning. I've said that it hurts my heart to even be saying this, But you remember the last one that kind of came through, we had to cancel. I think it was a Wednesday. Was it Sunday night or Wednesday night, maybe? I don't remember. The last time we had all that big wind come through here. We really don't want any of our folks to be in any danger. And, of course, it's always different in people's different locations. And, of course, they're talking about tremendous flooding. And so if you remember the 3 years ago when all that rain came, we're going to have a pretty good rainfall, they talk like. So anyway, so we want everybody to be safe, certainly. So just keep that in mind. We will let you know for sure. Now, of course, if we, for whatever reason, have it and you don't feel comfortable coming, well, then, I'm going to just leave. That's between you and the Lord. I'll just say it that way, of course. And you just use your own judgment there. But anyhow, we will let everybody know Saturday night by 6 o'clock whether or not we're planning to have church Sunday morning, depending upon how. A lot of churches have already canceled everything throughout, and of course, that's up to them. But we're going to wait and see how it does, because anything could happen. They talk about going 15 miles in either direction could make a big difference between us getting 3 to 5 inches of rain or 13 to 15 inches of rain. So, that's how big this thing is. So anyway, just kind of keep that in mind, all right? And just be praying for people's safety all up and down the East Coast here in our area, okay? And then, Ms. Gonzalez, good to see you. Glad you're feeling better. Bless your heart. We prayed for you Sunday and glad you're doing well. Good to see you here tonight. All right, so please remember that. Anybody else have... I'm sorry. Yeah, the sowing Saturday, pretty likely we're not going to have it. The rain will be in here by then, so we're just going to cancel sowing Saturday. And we're planning another trip. Of course, we were going to, not this Saturday, but another Saturday when South Carolina has another home game. We're going to get a bunch of folks together, go down, hand out tracts again. And we weren't going to do it this weekend anyway, but it's going to be somewhere down the line. But they've already canceled everything for Saturday all around, all the events and activities, I think even Friday night. The high school games and all that stuff. So, this thing, it could be one of those where you go, well, that wasn't too bad. Or it could be one of those you go, wow, that was bad. And so we're just going to have to wait and see how the Lord directs that thing. So anyway, just kind of keep that in mind, but use your good judgment, of course, and we will certainly understand. Okay? Yes. Yeah, Brother Jerry Peacock is supposed to have a meeting next week. He's canceled that because of the weather and because Shirley Hughes is having a treatment done Tuesday that they have to do. They can't put it off. So they just canceled that meeting in case anybody's still. We were thinking about going Tuesday night, but I think that's, between those two factors, I don't think that's going to be a good thing to do. So anyway, so just remember that. Okay? Anybody else have anything? Yeah, we've got family that Judy's got family that's in the east part of the North Carolina, just below Raleigh. So that's kind of, at first, that was kind of the bullseye, and it still could be. One says it's going that way, one says it's going to slow down, turn a little bit, and then come back towards us. And that's the one we don't want, but it could happen. So, and they've got these, they'll tell you that stuff, and then they'll show you this map with all these lines on it. Like 5,500 lines on it. Finally I told Judy, I said, they don't know where this thing's going. It's 400 miles wide, so I think you could get a pretty good guess. But we're not going to know until it makes landfall. That's basically how it's going to go. And so, just be praying and be prepared. I went to the grocery store yesterday. I was just going to buy, I don't remember what I was going to buy, just something, one thing. Saltine crackers, I think it was. And, man, I'm telling you, those people were nutty. They run over in a buggy. There was one loaf of bread on the shelf, and, boy, it looked like a horse race going down that aisle trying to get with that buggy. I'm telling you, it beat anything I ever seen. And all the water's gone, of course, except the Perrier. They want to pay $18 for a bottle of water, so the Perrier was still there, but the rest of it was gone. And so anyway, that's just the way we is around here. We over anticipate and sometimes over prepare. Now the thing might hit through, and they said that it's very possible, of course, if it really was a major devastating type of weather event, that if you remember with Hugo, we didn't have power for 2.5 weeks. And they said this could be the same situation, probably more so on the coast than here, but you never know. So all it takes is a few trees to fall on power lines, and man, it could just black out everything. So anyhow, just keep that in mind, of course, and we'll let you know more Saturday night about Sunday. Yes, sir. Yeah, her tests, everything's good. She didn't have any polyps and just some diverticulitis, I think, is what they discovered. So she'll have to quit eating seeds, anything with seeds in it. But other than that, we appreciate the good report. Brother Steve also had one last week and got a good report. So everything's going well there. Yes, sir. Okay. All right. So pray for Brandon. Yeah, he needs the Lord. That's what we pray most of all, to get saved. And so, yeah, well, there you go. I mean, that's just Brother Tim. I think Brother Tim. Brother Tim takes 5 medications for high blood pressure. And so when you see him turn red in the face, you know he's missed 2 or 3 of his medications that day, I think. But I wanted to say it was the Holy Ghost, but I think it's his blood pressure. So, you know, we'll just leave it at that, okay? Come on, Brother Tim, lead us into another song, if you would.
All right, well, I didn't do this on purpose, but number 491, A Shelter in a Time of Storm. Let's stand and sing 491. All right, sing out now. The Lord's our rock, in Him we hide, shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. A shade by day, defense by night, a shelter in the time of storm. No fears, alarm, no foes of fright, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, shelter in the time of storm. Oh, rock divine, oh, refuge dear, a shelter in the time of storm. Be thou our helper ever near, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, shelter in the time of storm.
All right, let's have a little time of fellowship.
Thank you.
right. Thank you so much. Come on, ushers. Let's take care of the offering this evening. We just put one on each end and work our way down the middle. That'll work out good. All right, Miss Judy, you're over here tonight. She's heading straight back over to her seat over there. Oh, he brought the book with him. Okay. All right. Amen, Brother Sonny. No, that's all right. That's all right. It's amazing how you mess folks up the Baptist church when you ask them to sit somewhere else. I mean, it's like, what do I do now? So, all right. Brother Joaquin, pray for the offering, please. Amen.
Till the storm passes by. Thank you. Well, Steve's coming to sing for us right before Pastor comes tonight.
When the Lord saved me, He made me an old-fashioned Christian. And that verse in the Bible, you know, restored the old paths. Here at Anchor, we got the old paths. We got them. The old paths of worship, the old paths of convictions and standards, and the old paths of the Word of God, and the old paths of right singing. And we don't need them restored, but you know what? We could be reminded a lot of times, couldn't we? And so here's a good old song that's right in your hymn book, and I like this the old-fashioned way. They call me old-fashioned because I believe that the Bible is God's holy word. That Jesus, who lived among men long ago, is divine and the Christ of God. My sin was old-fashioned, my guilt was old-fashioned, God's love was old-fashioned, I know. And the way I was saved was the old-fashioned way, through the blood that makes whiter than snow. Old-fashioned because I believe and accept only what has been spoken from heaven. Old-fashioned because at the cross I was saved, at the cross had my sins forgiven. My sin was old-fashioned, my guilt was old-fashioned, but God's love was old-fashioned, I know. And the way I was saved was the old-fashioned way, through the blood that makes whiter than snow. Old-fashioned because I am bound to do right, to walk in the straight, narrow way. Because I have given my whole life to God, old-fashioned because I pray. My sin was old-fashioned, my guilt was old-fashioned, God's love was old-fashioned, I know. And the way I was saved was the old-fashioned way, through the blood that makes whiter than snow. Old-fashioned because I am looking above to Jesus, my glorified Lord. Because I believe He is coming again, fulfilling God's holy word. My sin was old-fashioned, my guilt was old-fashioned, but God's love was old-fashioned, I know. And the way I was saved, it was the old-fashioned way, through the blood that makes whiter than snow.
All right, thank you, Brother Steve, for that. Get your Bibles ready. Listen now as the pastor comes.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Tim. Turn your Bibles tonight, if you will, to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter number 30. 2 Samuel chapter number 30. There's going to be a lot of folks over the next while are going to need the subject of this message. In fact, I knew I was going to need it about 5 minutes to seven. I wish you folks would get here a little sooner. Everybody rolls in here with 30 seconds to spare, and it just drives me bonkers. And man, all of a sudden 30 people showed up and at 2 minutes to seven. And so, you know, just if for no other reason, I'm getting old, and I'm going to have, you know, I need some bucking up. So if you come a little sooner, it sure would help me. But anyway, with the storm coming through, there's going to be a lot of damage. They talk like somewhere in the neighborhood of $170 billion in property damage, and that does not include the lives that could be lost and things like that. And so, you know, a lot of folks, including some of us right here, and it doesn't have to be a hurricane for us to get discouraged. Anybody here ever been discouraged before? All right. I heard Brother Alfred Willis say one time that he knew a preacher that got he says it was years ago before he was even a preacher, and this was a very well-known, very nationwide known evangelist who was in a service that he was at, and somebody had written a song and sang about discouragement, and said when the preacher got up the pulpit, he called the man's name. He said, "Brother, that's a beautiful song." He said, "But I'm glad that I can report in my X number of years as a Christian, I've never been discouraged." Now, I don't know about that. I just don't know about that. I hate to call a man a liar. I wasn't there, and I don't know him personally. I know of him, but I didn't know this preacher personally. So, you know, all I can say is, man, I wish I could get whatever he's drinking. Amen. I'm telling you. Because we've all had bouts of discouragement. In fact, even nowadays, depression can be a part of even a Christian's life. And not that it should be, or not that it ought to be allowed to be. But if we're not really where we need to be in the Lord, then it certainly can be a tool that Satan can use, a weapon against God's people. Many Christians have quit and laid down their armor and just gone by the wayside. Preachers and deacons and Sunday school teachers and good, solid Christian folk who you would never think would have ever gone in that direction. And yet, because of discouragement and circumstance, they wound up laying it down and just walking away. And that's a sad state of affairs, but it's happening. Who was it? Where's Judy at? Who showed that picture in Virginia? Who was that sent that to you? Yeah, Brother Aaron Cruz, who is a missionary in Washington, D.C. His daddy pastors in Monroe at Shining Light. But anyway, he sent a picture. His wife sent Judy a picture of a church in somewhere in Virginia. I'm not sure where, but it was a Baptist church. It was an independent Baptist church that is now a Muslim mosque. Not far, okay, so it's in Northern Virginia, up in that area somewhere. But anyway, the point was that it was a known independent Baptist church at one time that shut its doors, and now over the top it says something mosque, number two or something like that. Still got the steeple on it. Now, they took the cross off of it, of course. But man, if you just look at it without seeing what was on the front of it, you'd think it was a Baptist church or a church. But instead it's a mosque. And so I'm telling you, it happens not only individuals, can happen to whole groups of folks, happen to congregations, if we're not careful. And so here in 1 Samuel chapter 30, we read about David. Here's a man after God's own heart who obviously knew something about discouragement. He wrote the Psalms. How many times when we get discouraged do we turn to the book of Psalms for encouragement? And yet David, the writer of the Psalms, had several bouts with discouragement. And here's one that I want to use in the text here this evening as an example of encouragement. Now, like I say, many of you will recognize this scripture and, of course, verse 6 when we get there. But let's read verse 1. Let's stand, please, if you will, in reverence to the Word of God, and then we'll pray. The Bible said in verse 1 of chapter 30 of 1 Samuel, "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag." Now, I want you to underline or circle the name Ziklag. Ziklag is a type of the world. It's never a good place to stay. You might have to pass through it, but you shouldn't stay there. Notice it says, as they were come to Ziklag, notice, on the third day. So already we recognize they're there too long. Don't spend time, if you don't want to get discouraged, don't spend time in the world. Move through it. Now listen, we got to live in it. We've got to go to the grocery store. You know, some people tell you, I'm not going to that church down there. I've been a bunch of hypocrites. But they'll go to a grocery store with a bunch of hypocrites. And they'll go to the bank with a bunch of hypocrites. And they'll go to their job with a bunch of hypocrites. So you tell me. But the point is that the world is not, that's, they're looking for something that they can point their finger and say, that's not real. But when a Christian gets in the world, you're not going to be there long before all of a sudden people are pointing their finger at you and me and saying they're not real. Because the world will drain every spiritual ounce out of you. And you'll wind up discouraged. And so notice it says, though, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. Notice the worldly folks turned on the worldly place and burned it down. I'm telling you, Satan is a double crosser. I'm telling you, you get out in that world, you'll find that out. And he had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city. Now, let's get the story here. David's got 600 mighty men of valor with him, and their families have followed David. Absalom, of course, has run David out of town. You know the story. And so these men have followed David, and they're loyal to David. They love David. They didn't think one second or even pray about going with David. When David was in trouble, these men were there with him. And their wives and all of their children, I mean, buddy, they were following the king that God had anointed. Now they're in Ziklag. They've stayed there too long. And while David and his men are gone, here come the Amalekites, and they kidnap all the women and children of David and his mighty men of valor. Now notice what it says in verse 3. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. So you can imagine their first thought, their families have all been burned up. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. I mean, we're talking about sure enough wailing. Have you ever cried so much that you just couldn't hardly cry anymore? You know, you've heard people say that. I've cried till I don't have any tears left. These folks have wept. I mean, boy, you talk about discouragement setting in. And then notice what it says. And David's two wives were taken captive as well. Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite.
And David was greatly distressed. Let me ask you a question. If you came home from work and your house is burnt to the ground and you couldn't find your family anywhere and nobody knew where they were, would you be distressed? I believe I would. David and these men were distressed, and they were greatly distressed. For the people spake at stoning him. Uh-oh. This crowd that would follow David to death are now wanting to put David to death. Now just stay with me. The Bible said, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters, but David encouraged himself in his God. Father, bless your word to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As I said, I want to preach just a little while, just for a few minutes, on an example of encouragement. Now, it's one thing to say that you're encouraging yourself in the Lord. It's another thing to actually do it. The Bible said we're to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And so I don't know what you may be going through tonight. You don't know what I'm going through tonight. And so I believe God has this message for someone. Now, like I said, at 3 minutes to seven, I thought it was going to be me and the five people that were here. But thank God you showed up. I appreciate it. But listen, I need it, whether there's three here or 3,000. I need to be encouraged in the Lord. And so let's look at the text for a moment. And let me just give you a couple things here. Notice go to chapter 19. Just turn over to chapter 19 of 1 Samuel. Let's get an idea where this is started from. How do we get to this place? How do you get to a place of discouragement? Number one, you'll notice in chapter 19, and look at verse number 1. And Saul spake to Jonathan his son, and to all his servants, that they should kill David. Now you remember the story. David was a young boy when he came to the king, King Saul. He could play an instrument. The Bible said that Saul was vexed with a spirit, an evil spirit, often. And so because of that, David would play his harp, and it would soothe Saul. And so Saul had him to come to the palace to stay, to kind of be his sort of encouragement. And while he was there, he knitted this wonderful friendship with Jonathan, the son of Saul. And so then you know the story, how that David became a mighty man of valor himself, to the point that when David would come back from a battle or from a campaign, that the women would be out the street dancing and singing, and they'd say this, "Saul hath killed his thousands, but David, his tens of thousands." And so David is now getting more praise than Saul was. And so what happens when somebody who thinks they're something find out that they're not so big after all? Jealousy sets in. Now, in the meantime, David loved Saul. David honored Saul. David was anointed to be the king because God was going to take the kingdom from Saul, but that was not David's doing. David did not plan or conspire for that to happen. That's God's choice. Remember, it was Samuel who found David out in Jesse's field and went through all the sons, kind of like Cinderella, and went through all the ugly stepsisters. And finally said, "Is there any more here?" And said, "Well, we got one upstairs. She's just a servant girl." Put the slipper on, boom, we're happily ever after. Well, old Samuel said, "You got any more boys here?" And Jesse said, "Well, I got one more. He's just a young kid, about 16 years old. He's ruddy in complexion. I mean, he's just a teenager going through puberty. And I don't think you'd be too interested in him." Samuel said, "Go get him." And buddy, as soon as David walked in the door, the Holy Ghost impressed Samuel. He said, "That's the one." And he poured the oil on David. You know the story. He became anointed to be king after Saul's death. But in the meantime, much happened in the interim. And so because of that, Saul gets jealous. And three different times he tried to kill David. Three different times. There were four times when David could have killed Saul. And in every case, David said, "I'm not going to do it." He said, "I will not touch God's anointed." And so because of that, God honored David. Well, so what do we find here? What's a lot of times the first thing that will lead to discouragement? That's when we're forsaken by friends. Saul was David's friend. He ate at Saul's table. Jonathan was his best friend. And you'll notice that Saul By the way, when you get discouraged, or when you get in a place of discouragement, you'll find out that not only folks that you might think, well, that doesn't surprise me that Saul is mad with me, and it doesn't say that, and Jonathan never tried to kill David, but he did know about it. And so all of a sudden Satan puts in your mind, you know what, maybe I can't trust any of my friends. Even the servants who had to serve David, all of a sudden he says, maybe I can't trust anybody. Boy, that'll get you discouraged, won't it? When you find out when your friends forsake you, when people that you love seem like they turn against you, and it happens all the time. And let me say this, sometimes we are the perpetrators. We're not always the victim. Sometimes we're the perpetrator. Sometimes we're the very one who causes discouragement because of our lack of compassion, our lack of concern, our lack of care. Amen? You with me tonight? All right, now, I'm going somewhere, so stay with me. I'll get you home before the hurricane hits, I promise. Now, go to chapter 25. Turn to chapter 25. So already discouragement has set into David because of his friends forsaking him. Now you go to chapter 25 of 1 Samuel, and again, look at verse number 1, and look what it says. And Samuel died. And Samuel died. Samuel was David's spiritual mentor. Samuel was the one who anointed David. Samuel was the one that David would always go to for advice, and go to for help, and go to for spiritual direction. And now, he's gone. So not only does discouragement set in when your friends forsake you, but discouragement also can set in when there is a funeral in your life. David's pastor just died. David's spiritual leader just died. You know, you could be on top of the world and then a family member or someone you love pass away suddenly. And boy, it can knock the props out from under you, can it? Oh, David's already having to deal with Saul trying to kill him. And with, you know, and trying to figure out if he could trust Jonathan or not. And now all of a sudden, his preacher dies. His pastor dies. His spiritual leader dies. Man, I'll tell you one thing that can set in discouragement in anybody's life is a funeral. Especially when it's somebody you love. A husband, a wife, a child, a daddy, a mama, a grandma. I mean, another church member, a dear friend. I hope, you know, if the Lord should take me out for some of you, I hope it'll bother you just a little bit. I mean, you don't have to go crazy. But, you know, I hope you'll at least say, well, I hate that. Hey, the preacher died. Well, I hate that. You know, if I can get that from you, that'd be all right, I guess. I told Judy, she better cry. When I die, she better cry, because if she don't, I'm going to haunt her. Amen. So discouragement can come when you're forsaken by your friends. Discouragement can come when there's a funeral in your life. Now turn with me to chapter 27, and let's look at verse number 1. Chapter 27, David's on the run. His friends have forsaken him. He's been to the funeral of his preacher, his pastor. Man, discouragement has really set in. He's already on the run from Saul and from all that situation. And now notice in verse 1 of chapter 27, and David said in his heart. Now this is what happens when discouragement sets in. He said in his heart. That's where it really hits home in our heart. He said, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me. That's exactly what the devil wants us to think. That when circumstances bring discouragement, that it'll never get better. David was so discouraged now. He said, man, Saul's trying to kill me. He said, there's nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. David's discouragement got to the place where he said, I'm going to run to my foes, my enemies. The Philistines hated David. And David didn't care too much for the Philistines. They were the mortal enemies of Israel. a type again in Scripture of the world. The world is our mortal enemy. And when discouragement sets in the life of the believer, suddenly, what did David do? What did he do? He favored his foes. All of a sudden, his enemies are now his friends. I've talked about this with my family and others. I'm convinced that a lot of times, God's people who are good people in their heart, but they are so tired of fighting against the crowd that's against us until they will forsake the good side of the coin and run with that enemy crowd. It's happened to us more times than I can tell you. People that we loved and honored and respected and tried to help. I've never tried to hurt no one. And boy, they'd say, "Preacher, listen, we love you. We go to the mat for you. We'll go all the way with you." And then that ungodly, wicked crowd in the church would turn against you, and they just don't want to fight the fight no more. So they join up with that other crowd because they don't want to get hurt. And you know what that'll do? That'll bring discouragement, won't it? I can't tell you the times I've wept privately over people that I thought were my friends. And then all of a sudden, when I needed them the most, they rejected me. That happens. And by the way, let me say again, there's probably been times, I'm sure, when I was the perpetrator. When I was the one that was not faithful. When I was the one, maybe, that wasn't all I should be to friends of mine who are now out in the world and gone. I should have stepped up and said something. I should have spoke up and told them the truth. It's not that I turned against them. I haven't. I never have. But I just didn't stand up and say, "Hey, man, pay attention to what's going on. Wake up." So many times. And in David's life, his friends have forsaken him. His preacher's gone. And so he runs to the enemy. What a wrong thing to do. Let me tell you something. You run to your enemy. You think they're going to love you now? If you go out in the world, if you leave the church, now here's what the devil will tell you. If you'll leave the church and disavow your Lord and just walk away, go out here and there'll be people out here that will love you. That's wrong, wrong, wrong. Ask the prodigal. Talked about that Sunday, didn't we? He was a prodigal because of his own lifestyle, but when it came right down to it, he needed that worldly bunch to help him, and no one helped him. You with me tonight? Now don't worry, I'm going to get to the encouragement part. Some of you look like, "Gee whiz, man, the hurricane's coming, and it's getting darker earlier now. Now, man, he's just ruining me." Just hang on. There's a good part to all this, as you'll find out in a moment. I'm just trying to help here. You know it's right. Discouragement sets in when your friends turn on you, when funerals come into your life. When your foes are now your friends. But I'm telling you, that'll make a difference. Then go to chapter 30 right here and look at verse number 2. And here's where we, in our text. "And had taken the women captives." And David's two wives. The whole bunch were taken captive. All of a sudden, when your family gets away. All of a sudden, man, all this other stuff's happening, and now all of a sudden, your son or your daughter, or one of your grandchildren gets out in the world and I cannot tell you. Judy and I have had so many, so many, so many young people in our ministry who get up on the platform and quote whole chapters of the Bible and hand out, and you think, man, that girl or that boy, they're destined for something great for God. And then they turn into a teenager and boom, they're gone. And their parents are at the altar saying, "Preacher, what happened? What went wrong?" Yeah. The grandparents are weeping because their families have been taken. That's why it's so very important that we live for Jesus 24/7. And put it in their heart. Now listen, and I can tell you almost 99.8% of the time. Now I know that it's the individual's choice to make, but 99.8% of the time, if I went back and talked to these people about what happened, here's what happened. Mom and Dad quit living it. like they should. And they let their children do things that when they were little children they wouldn't let them do, but now that they're teenagers, you know, they want to be their friend. So they let them listen to the wrong music and they let them go. They drop them off at the mall. I wouldn't drop my kids off at a mall now and leave them there alone. Yeah, but preacher, that's, you got to let them live. Listen, you'll be at the altar praying, God, I wish they wouldn't live that way. I'm telling you, folks, you know I'm right. That's my pastor used to say. You know I'm right. And so all of a sudden the family's gone. But then notice in verse number 6, then all of a sudden the men that were with him wanted to stone him. I'm talking about in just a few hours, they've gone from his followers to his foes. His followers have now forsaken him. What else is there? His king has forsaken him. His friends, his preachers died. He's running around with the Philistines now. And they wanted to kill David too. Don't you think for a minute that they were glad to have him. And then his family, he gets home and his family's gone. His wives are gone. All the families are gone. House is burnt down. And now the very men that swore their lives to him have now picked up rocks and said, David, we're going to stone you. Can you imagine how low that must have made him? I've never had anybody throw real stones at me, but I've had them talk to me like they wish they could. And if they'd have had something in their hand, they might have used it. And I'm talking about people that I had confidence in. And this is not about me, folks. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not up here preaching, woe is me. That's all water under the bridge. God's been good to me. And I've got some more good folks right here in front of me. But I'm telling you, if we don't stay close to the Lord, this same stuff that we would say to ourselves, that'd never be me. Oh, no. That would never be me. Be careful. You might be the next one. And you may not be the one throwing the stones, but you may be the one facing the stones. So what does David do? Everything's gone. Hey, preacher, where do I go? Nobody cares. Even at one point, David said, no man careth for my soul. I mean, then he was at the bottom. But isn't that where God does his best work? When you're at the bottom. Now, you know what we say? Lord, don't let me go all the way to the bottom. I'd be glad for you to show yourself before I get to the bottom. I'll appreciate it, Lord. But sometimes the bottom is where we have to go. And now notice, in that same verse 6, and after all of that, after everything he'd been through, the Bible said, and David encouraged himself in his God. Hallelujah. Here's what we do when discouragement strikes. You ready? Give them to you quickly. Number one, encouragement is personal. David encouraged himself in his God. Amen? I'm glad that I have a personal Savior. I'm glad that God is my God. Now, if He's your God, He's your God too. That's the great thing about our God. He can be personal to everybody at one time. It's not a group thing. It's a personal thing. Hallelujah. I'm glad that God, today I went forward to get saved, and I think that Thursday afternoon, I was the only one of all of us that were at the camp that got saved that afternoon. I'm glad God, when I went to the altar and said, God, I need you to save me, He said, well, let's wait till we get a few more. Let's just wait to, because, if I'm going to do it, I want to do it in a whole big group. I'm glad God didn't say that. You know what God did? He saved me that afternoon. He was my Savior. If you need encouragement, friend, go to God. He's your God. And guess what He wants to do? He wants to encourage you. So encouragement is personal. It's personal. Then notice number two, if it's personal and God's involved, then encouragement is possible. Now the devil will tell you, you're done, God hates you, he doesn't care about you. In fact, here's what he'll say. He'll say, I told you so. I told you. I told you when you were thinking about getting saved that you'd lose all your friends, that you'd lose your family, that nobody care about you, you'd be all by yourself, you'll never have any fun. And so you get saved and things are going good and you're saying, thank God, I'm glad the devil was wrong, until discouragement sets in and you get down to the bottom and now he's saying to you, I told you so. And if you're not careful, you know what you'll say to him? You were right. He's never right. He's the father of liars. Encouragement is possible. David did it. And by the way, you'll notice he didn't go and get anyone to help him. All he needed was God. Now, I'm not saying that if you have a brother or sister in Christ or a husband or wife or someone that you can have some confidence in that can pray with you and try to help you, that's wonderful. That's the way it ought. In fact, we'll see something in a minute that he did that kind of leads me in that direction. But in the beginning, it was him and God. And by the way, God said, with me, all things are possible. Amen? So if you get discouraged, just start going to God. Go to Him more. Read a little more. Pray a little more. Be more faithful to church. Come early. Please. But not only is encouragement personal and it's possible, but notice if you would in verse number 7, and here's what I want to show you. Notice he said, and David said to Abiathar the priest. So there was a preacher with him, you know, Abiathar, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. Now the ephod was the cloak that the priest wore. Now David wasn't going to wear it because David couldn't wear it. David was not a priest. But what he wanted was he wanted Abiathar to put that ephod on, because when the ephod was on, and you remember it was the cloth that they wore that had the stones in it for the 12 tribes of Israel. And the ephod on the priest was a type of the Holy Ghost. Hey, you know what? You know what David needed? It was personal, it was possible, and now, if you want to get encouraged, you need preaching. You need preaching. God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe. God, listen, David knew, I got to hear from God. I got to get a word from God. I need to hear something from the Bible that will help me. And so David didn't say, well, maybe. He said, go get it. He said, bring it here. He said, I know if I'm going to get out of this slump I'm in, I need preaching. Friend, I'm telling you, you need church more than once or twice a week. I'm telling you. You say, well, preacher, I don't need but just once a week. Hey, you're lying. I'll just be honest with you. You're lying. I bet you eat more than once a week. I mean, look at most of us. You can tell we eat at least twice a week. Say amen right there. Sometimes twice an hour. Say amen right there. But I'm telling you, encouragement. It's possible, it's personal, and it comes from preaching and fellowshipping with the people of God. Remember, at this point, everybody he knows is either missing or mad. So he didn't turn to his 600 men and say, fellas, man, let me share a little word from God with you. They said, we want to share something with you, Doc. So he went to God, the only one that could help him. But in the midst of all that, he started remembering the Word of God. How that he would hear from Samuel. And he said, Abiathar, you're the priest that's here now. He said, you're the preacher man now. I need to hear from God. Go get the ephod. Put it on. Man, get dressed up. Start looking like a preacher. I need help. Then look at verse 8. Encouragement is personal and it's possible. It comes from preaching. Look at verse number 8, and David inquired of the Lord. It takes prayer. Encouragement comes through prayer. Not now I lay me down to sleep, For our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be. I'm talking about, sure enough, talking to God. I'm talking about prayer. So I've been there. I know what prayer can, I know what extreme discouragement can do, but I also know what getting in touch with God can do. And I'm telling you, even now, this may sound fanatical, but I'm telling you that morning when God spoke to my heart, it was as if He was speaking to me audibly, although He wasn't. I know He wasn't, but He said, "It's taken care of." After 5.5 months of the worst discouragement I've ever gone through, I just started praying under a blanket. And finally God said, "I hear you. I'm telling you it works. And don't wait until you're looking up to tie your shoes. Start praying on the way down. In fact, pray while you're up." It comes through preaching and prayer. And then lastly, yep, I'm done. It's 8 o'clock. Look at verse number 8. David inquired at the Lord and said, "Shall I pursue after this troop? Lord, what should I do? My family's gone. My men are, they hate me. Should I go after that bunch?" God said, "Go ahead and pursue." And look at verse 10. David pursued. He and 400 men, listen, you may have to go on with less than what you started with. Everybody may not come around. Well, I'll tell you, if I can't get all that crowd that's against me for me, then I'm just not going to do it at all. That's exactly what the devil wants you to say. Because I'm telling you, everywhere you go, everybody's not going to appreciate you. And especially if you're trying to live for God. Oh, they may mouth it to you and say, you know, they may say, you know, I'm sorry, you're a Christian. I won't swear around you anymore. I won't, just mark her down. 600 started with him, but 400 went with him. And the Bible said that they went and they pursued. And then look, verse number 19. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. How about that? Encouragement means pursuit. If you want God to do something for you, go after it. If God wants to do something for you, go after it. If God tells you to do something, pursue it. Go after it. If God tells you, "That's the church I want you in," pursue it. "That's the Sunday school class I want you in," pursue it. "I want you in the choir," go after it. "I want you to teach." "Oh Lord, I can't do that." Hey, if God tells you to do it, pursue it. "God called me to preach." I said, "Not me, Lord." He said, "I want you." I said, "Okay." I didn't argue much because I'd heard all them stories from all them other preachers about arguing with God and running from God and how God had to win. I said, "Not me." I said, for about 5 minutes, I said, "God, you really don't want me to be a preacher, do you?" And I got to thinking, he brought that to my mind. Next thing I knew, I was at the altar saying, "God, if you want me to be a preacher, I'm surrendering to be a preacher." But I'm not going to lie to you and tell you I've never been discouraged. And I'm telling you, this is a better life. We have no sad stories to tell. Sitting in our house this morning, I just looked and I said, "Judy," I said, "don't we have a nice place here? We're comfortable." Now, a week from now, it may be all blowed down. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't have said nothing. I don't know. I don't think so. By the way, and if it does, God will take care of us. And it doesn't matter what happens. We're going to keep pursuing this thing. Amen? If God, wherever, what's the hymn we sing? "Wherever He leads, I'll go. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Wherever He leads." Discouragement is going to be part of your life. some big, some not so big, but really and truly, if it hits you, it's big. To you, it's big. You tell somebody else, ah, get over it. Well, just wait until they're going through something, and they're the very ones that are saying, hey, how did you get through that? I can't tell you how many times I told what was happening to me, and I didn't have one preacher that could help me. Not one. They'd say, Brother Rick, you're kidding. I've never heard of that. But do you know, since God has rescued me from that situation, that I've talked to several preachers who are now going through the exact same problem. And they call me. Now, Fred didn't handle it well. I got bad shape there for a while. I'm telling you, you let everybody you know turn on you, and you'll be just like me. But I'm glad that there's a God in heaven. Amen? Who is personal. He takes your hurts personally. Doesn't the Bible say that He's been touched with the feelings of our infirmities? Isn't that wonderful? I went to people and said, can you help me? My pastor, my former pastor, I mean, people that I loved, I said, can you help me? No, we can't. And then I started talking to God about it. And He was kind of silent for a while. He didn't say much. Boy, I'm telling you, I was getting kind of worried. But then right at the time it needed to happen, boom, He said, I got it. I can't tell you how much better I feel. I'm just saying, folks, don't be surprised when discouragement comes. But make sure you're going to the right person to get out of it. And that's God. I'll help all I can, but I'm human. That husband, that wife, my wife was my rock during those days. She really couldn't help me either. She couldn't help me, not really. I'm sure she wished many times she could say, here's what I think you'll do, and if you'll do this, it'll work, and everything will be all right. She never once did that because she couldn't. I'll tell you who I had to hear it from. The one who knew how to work it out. And He did, and here we are. Just please come a little earlier. You know, I'm not going to let you all forget that now, don't you? I'm just going to just keep, you're going to say, oh, there he goes again. No, I won't do that to you. Maybe you're discouraged tonight. I tell you what, let's do. We're not going to have any music, nothing. Just come, let's get around the altar tonight. We're going to pray and go home. Everybody, no music, it's going to be very quiet, but still, pray out loud, pray to yourself. You can pray, you come to the front seat. But let's get around this altar tonight. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to know that I'm praying for you. Whatever it is, I will pray with you. We ought to pray for one another and lift each and try to encourage one another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we sure do love you tonight and thank you for this wonderful opportunity to be back at the house of God on Wednesday night. And Lord, I want to thank you for folks coming. Lord, I was kind of messing with them a little bit. Maybe I shouldn't. Lord, I appreciate their faithfulness. I know many of them get off work later. I know the traffic has been murder in Columbia today. Probably will be for the next several days. People trying to get out of where they're going to get away from that storm. So, Lord, you know what? I'm sorry. I want to apologize to my folks for even making statements like that. I understand. I appreciate them. I'd rather have them here a minute late than not at all. And so, God, I thank you for being here. It's an encouragement to me to see him here and to see the center section full. Now, Lord, we need to fill up them outside sections. Well, Lord, the Bible said that when David got his encouragement from God, he pursued. He went after it. Lord, I believe in my heart that you want us, you put this church here, you put us together, and there are more that need to be here. Not only folks who are members, but people who are not members, who are not saved, who are unsaved,
people all over. We got people here and outside who need the Lord, and we need to pursue them. Lord, I'm sure that if there's not someone here tonight in a state of discouragement, they're either just coming out of it or they're just going in it. And so either way, they can be a help. If they're discouraged, if some things are happening in their life that seem to overwhelm them some, help them to encourage themselves in their God. That personal Savior, not the bank, not the boss, but the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh God, help them to understand that God knows. You already know what they're going. God already knew everything David was going through before he went through it. And when David pursued after God, then he was able to go and get all that was his. And the Bible said he recovered all. I'm glad we serve a all-recovering God. And so, Lord, I pray that whatever that discouragement might be, that they'll find encouragement in the Bible, in prayer, in preaching, in fellowship with God's people. Lord, I need this. I need this every chance I get. I even try to go to services around other places because I need it. I just need it. I need to be preached to, not just be the preacher, but I need to be preached to help me when discouragement rears its ugly head. But I'm glad that we can encourage ourselves in our God. And so, Lord, whatever it is tonight, may the folks leave it at the altar, trust God with it, and walk out of here and say, I know in whom I believed, and I am persuaded that He is able. He is. You are able, God. You're an able God. Encourage folks tonight in yourself, and may they be an encouragement to others. Lord, when friends forsake us, when family forsakes us, when our foes are rearing their ugly head, when funerals and bad situations come into our life, and God, Satan tries to tear us down, help us to cry unto the Lord. And Lord, we love You and thank You. Lord, please watch out for folks in this storm, saved and unsaved. Lord, maybe somehow through all of this, the gospel can be given and people can be helped. Because I know there's going to be a lot of people in the next several days who are going to blame God for what happened. But God, I'm glad You're not the fault, but You are the fixer. And so I pray that we'll trust in You with all of our heart. We love You. Take everyone home safely and keep our people here at Anchor safe this week. May there be no harm to come to them physically or materially. And Lord, we can meet back together. If You want us here Sunday, we'll be here, Lord. If it's at all possible, we're going to be here Sunday. But if it's not, if the weather's just too overwhelming, then Lord, help us just to encourage ourselves in our God. We love You. Thank You for all You do now. Dismiss us with Your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Fellowship together. We'll see you, Lord willing. Don't forget, 6 o'clock on Saturday night, we'll have the announcement out for you so you know how to plan for Sunday.